Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
One, two, three.
Oh,
that
shit!
That was terrible.
It's not good on my end.
Hey, it sounded good on my end.
No, not for me.
not for me.
I thought that was solid. I was excited.
Speaking of excitement, welcome back to Bros of Murder. Battle, are you suffering right now?
I'm so tired. I ran 10 miles this morning.
Oh, look at you. Overachiever.
I had a bagel this morning.
And then I had avocado toast thanks to Gwyneth P. Hey.
Gwyneth Paltrow?
Yeah. You know, she's the one that, like, pretty much
started
Goop,
the
right?
trend.
Goop.
Yeah. But she also started the.
No fucking way. No fucking way. Are we giving.
I wanted to say. Gwyneth Paltrow.
It was a.
She's putting avocado on
I was
toast.
Being
she's not even a millennial.
She's not even. No, yeah, she is the one that like got the whole thing. There's like I watched a YouTube video about how she like pretty much destroyed the environment with the whole avocado toast thing and selling people avocado toast for like $10 and then making the cost of avocados like really high because she's just like, oh yeah,
tank the market. Yeah.
I'm Joe Rogan for women and.
Oh shit!
Like
that's yeah.
I mean, you're good.
Yeah, right.
Accurate.
Anyway. Welcome to Bros of Murder, where we not only talk about group products, but we talk about true crime cases of color.
And chlamydia.
And chlamydia. You missed that part.
Let's see it. Thank you.
Okay, but yeah, so welcome to the show. This episode's all about Vanished. And I know, Battle, you said you wanted to start first, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I do want to start first.
So
everyone's doing well.
Hashtag Doja Cat, get into it, yeah.
I don't like Doja Cat either, so we don't have to talk about her ever.
That was yet. For Kelly. That wasn't for anybody else but Kelly.
I don't know.
I've been on the road. I've been doing shows. Now we eating steak. Remember sleeping on the floor. We're stealing at the gas station when the time's cold. In the kitchen, hot still trying to flip it off the stove. Rocking fake J's, praying that nobody know. Watch them take my dog away. It was way too hard to stay composed. Fight to see the light of day. All this blood on my clothes. I was tired every day. Green light, it's time to go. I don't want to live life fast or die too young. Die too young. 100 miles per hour might crash because a good die young. Yeah, a good die young.
Anyways,
sorry, Daddy Battle.
I'm sorry. I know no one knows the whole idea behind the daddy part. It's the Patreon stuff.
Daddy fucker.
I'm going to make a little jingle for it too. But I hope everyone's doing well. I know I am because I'm here with my friends.
That's us.
I had the cats in the room, actually. But, no, it is. It's you. It's you all. So today's episode is another episode on people that go missing. And, you know, some people are found or found alive. However, not everyone is found alive or found
at all. Yeah.
Yeah. If you're new to the show, just know I am not a fan of these types of cases or these episodes because they make me feel very uneasy because I don't understand how people still go missing when everyone has a camera phone. I should just say smartphone now because camera phone, that's so early 2000s. But
I love how we always have this disclaimer too. Yeah. Battle does not like unsolved mysteries.
I do not. They're not fun to me. They make me feel uncomfortable. Yeah, so I hate that. But I will say my couple of hours of research and recording this episode and me being uneasy is nothing compared to what these families have to go through after they lost a loved one. So, or even have any closure at that matter. So it's okay. I get it. And I'm more than happy to help try to illuminate what happens when people go missing. So like every episode that I don't have a case, I do want to give background information on the types of cases we're talking about today. So according to the National Missing and Unidentified Persons System, about 600,000 people go missing each year, and only 4,400 of those bodies are found. Notice that I said bodies because that's what they are. They're unidentified. So while they are people, they just look at them as unidentified bodies because no one knows who they are. It's important to note that most people that do go missing are found. However, there are a lot of cold cases that come up each year with missing persons. In 2021 alone, there are currently a little over 15,000 people that are missing, with California actually being the highest, and they have about 2,100 people, and Rhode Island have about 30 people that are missing. And interesting enough that there's a little research on why people go missing, and that has a lot to do with that going missing or vanishing. It's not exclusive to one group. So regardless of age, race, sexuality, religious preference, you name it, anything that you want to label, everyone essentially has a chance of going missing. And one group of people that I feel are pretty vulnerable Sorry, my mustache keeps tickling my nose. That's why I'm touching it. It's not because I do cocaine. I'm afraid to put things in my nose. But the ones that I find most vulnerable going missing or becoming abducted are children. And according to childfindamerica.org, it's estimated that 2,300 children go missing daily in the United States. So I get it. There's nearly, 328 million people in the United States. So what's 2,300? I mean, it's only a 200% difference.
I'm gonna say, don't ask me to do quick math.
Yeah, it's 200%. I did the math in Excel. Don't worry about it. It's good.
Oh,
I love Excel.
Yes.
Honestly, one of the greatest marvels of modern civilization.
Right? It's awesome. If you know
besides
how to use
the
it.
Pussy.
Yeah.
True. No idea how to use it. Boy pussy, Excel.
Mm-hmm. I don't like anything in that. But so, although it's a 200% difference, meaning that it's super low relative to the amount of people that are in the United States, it's still 2,300 children that didn't get a chance at life to experience what life has to offer, even though sometimes life can be pretty shitty. But let's go on to the other side of the spectrum and look at, I don't know, old people or old people that have Alzheimer's or dementia. And according to an article on beingpatient.com, nearly 1 in 6 people living with Alzheimer's go missing at some point in their lives. This is because oftentimes they are forgetful and it's hard for them to remember things like where they live or sometimes where they are. And I know for me, I've personally seen it with friends on like Facebook or any type of social media share things about their family members going missing that have this type of mental disability.
I just like wander off or like go for a walk and forget. Oh, that's terrible.
Go missing,
or get in their truck and drive somewhere and get lost. It's very common.
That happened to my uncle. He was he had some like PTSD from being in the military and like, you know, was at the point where he could not take care of himself and he was just wandering around Houston. And like my mom just got a call from a random doctor who found her on like Ancestry.com. She's like, "Hey, do you know this person?" And they're like, "Yeah, that's my brother. Where is he?
How long was he missing for?"
I mean, they stopped talking, so like they just like assumed he was, you know, out doing his own thing. But then he was wandering the streets, and then we got him into long-term care. On the subject of Alzheimer's, though, it's like one of my biggest fears is that like I'll just forget every good thing that ever happened to me, and I won't recognize my loved ones. There is an album that's like very, very long.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's on Spotify.
It's also on YouTube.
Yep.
And it goes down like the descent of what it feels like to go through all time. It's creepy as shit. It gave me like body chills, but I got to the end of it.
It's called Everywhere at the End of Time. And I would say it's a little too long. Like maybe jump around to like get the kind of vibe of it. Yeah, very creepy. And the idea was like each song is a different stage of, you know, Alzheimer's and losing, you know, cognition.
Yeah, if you really want to have like an existential crisis moment, just like smoke a giant joint and then just throw on some headphones and just lay back.
Or just while you're cleaning.
Yeah, it's 6.5 hours long.
Oh, shit. That's
I listened to the whole thing because I'm like, I need to know. I need to listen to this whole thing. And I got to the end. I'm like, wow, that was really powerful and like sad. But I did not need to listen for 6.5 hours.
No, I skipped through. I did a whole run.
Day.
Yeah, literally. Of being sad and thinking about losing my mind. Ugh.
So
welcome to your 20s.
Oh, speaking of 20s, let's talk about people that go missing over the age of 21. Thank you for that. Nearly 154,000 people over the age of 21 go missing, with 95,000 of those being men and 59,000 of them being women. That's not the case for people under the age of 21, where 209,000 girls and young women go missing and 178,000 of boys and young men go missing. Needless to say, I get it sounds very scary because it is scary. There's a super low risk that us ourselves will go missing. However, that doesn't mean that you will not go missing. So what can we do?
So you will not go missing, is what you're saying?
Yeah. You're less likely to go missing, but it doesn't mean it won't happen to you. Okay. Like it's a super, super small chance. Because if you look at the total population of 600,000 to the total population of the United States is extremely low. I didn't do the math on that, sorry. But it's extremely low. However, I guess if you're in the wrong place at the right time for someone, peace, love, and chicken grease. But what can we do? What we can do is be diligent about where we are, who we are with, and making sure that people know where we are and who we're with. I know for me, sorry about the whoever's going to edit this. I know, like, for me, Melinda and I, we share our locations. And when I go running, for instance, I go running between the hours of 4 a.m. and 6 a.m. I usually have my dog with me, but then in the event I do go missing, Melinda will be able to see at least my last whereabouts because I take my phone with me just in case of emergency. So we could just try to be more diligent about where we're going and who we're with. But what we can also do is make sure that we ourselves are not zebras and trying to blend in when we see something happening that seems super sus. Like if you see like a person that's by themselves, whether it be a man or a woman or a man, whatever, a person by themselves, and that person looks like they're in some kind of discomfort because of some random person, or that you could tell they seem physically like bothered by this person. Hey,
like being accosted.
Say, hey, I've been looking for you everywhere. Are you ready to go? Do you want, like, did you find what you're looking for? Make up some stupid thing. And they'd probably be like, oh yeah, I'm ready to go, and then help them. So don't be a zebra, stand up and do something. And not to mention, this day and age, everyone has a cell phone and everyone has social media. So do something versus do nothing, whether you want to just record it or whether you want to make a phone call to authorities, just do something.
Yeah. Or even just walking up and seeing like, are you good? You guys okay? It seems tense over here.
Be nosy. Sometimes you have to be. But with that being said, I hope you have taken a little bit away from what I've talked about, and I hope you enjoy today's cases about people who have vanished. So, someone take it away.
Yee yee. So, who wants to go first after battle, obviously?
I can go first since my laptop is going to die soon.
Get into it, Kelsey. So,
alrighty. So, I actually did my case on Bison Dele. I don't know if you guys know who that is. He was born Brian Williams. He was the son of a musician, Eugene Williams, from the 50s. He performed with a group called the Platters. He was a professional basketball player in the 90s. No? Okay. I don't know sports either. He started playing basketball as a teenager. He was very tall for his age and had a natural talent for it, and ended up being drafted into the NBA right out of college. He played for quite a few different teams throughout his successful decade-long career. He even won a championship in 1997 while playing with the famous teammate Michael Jordan for the Chicago Bulls. Yeah. In 1998, he changed his name from Brian Williams to Bison Dele to honor his enslaved ancestors as well as his Cherokee heritage. He was also notable for being one of the first professional basketball players to be open about his mental health. He struggled, I think, all throughout his career with heavily with depression, and as time passed, his behavior became kind of unpredictable. He had attempted suicide at least once, as well as on a flight with the team. He had tried to open, like, you know, that big emergency door at the front of the plane.
Wait,
before
when
being
did it win?
He tried to open it. He didn't get to it because they had stopped him. But
how big was this guy again?
He was 6'10 and 240 pounds. So he was a big dude.
It must take a couple people to help stop him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, a plane full of basketball players, I would imagine, yeah, all approximately the same size.
But sheesh.
Yeah. And then, but the biggest shock for to fans and everything, and his people around him, is when in 1999 he retired from the NBA at the age of 30, right as he was entering the prime of his career. But he, I guess, had made enough money that he was satisfied and he just wanted to start traveling. He explored many different countries, learned new languages, and even got his pilot's license. He eventually bought a catamaran and named it Hakuna Matata after the Swahili phrase made popular by the movie The Lion King.
I have a Hakuna Matata tattoo.
Wait,
let's see if you can see it. It's right there. I got it when I was 16 in this dude's basement.
Oh.
My friend's brother bought a tattoo gun and I was like, give me a Hakuna Matata, bro.
Perfect.
Honestly, nice as far as 16-year-old choices go, that one's not too bad. No, I mean,
now, how worried are you though?
I survived. Oh. It's been like a few years. Nothing got affected. He disinfected it with Old Spice deodorant.
I mean, I just in general, isn't that what like Hakuna Matata means? No worries.
Oh yes. Yeah, I was bobbing. Yeah, I was in a mode.
Because I am a worried wreck all the time.
Maybe you should get a Hakuna Matata tattoo.
Yeah, man, that's a new. Yeah, Goop should sell some Hakuna Matata good vibe stickers.
Get the little lion with the little over the forehead. Okay, but in July 2002, Dele set sail from Tahiti with his girlfriend, Serena Carlin, his brother, Miles DeBord, who was born Kevin Williams, and the captain of the boat, Bertrand Saldo. So, the first substantial indication that something was amiss was when a check supposedly written by Dele for the amount of $152,096 was paid to a company called Certified Mint, located in Phoenix, Arizona. And this was about 2 months after they had set sail in Tahiti. So yes, so this was early September and he was supposed to still be on his trip. So his bank flagged it and contacted his financial planner, Kevin Porter. Apparently the contact information on the check had been changed to an address and phone number not associated with Dele. Then when a man claiming to be Dele showed up at the mint to pick up the gold coins he was attempting to purchase, he was promptly detained by police. Despite having Dele's passport and credit cards, the man turned out to be none other than Dele's older brother, Miles DeBoard. DeBoard claimed that he had been sent by his brother to complete the transaction. Since no one was able to contact Dele to confirm or deny the story, his brother was let go.
Yeah. I'm sorry. Oh, no one's going to back you up?
Yeah, you're good.
Well, you
definitely didn't do anything.
At the same time, his girlfriend's mother had been growing concerned because throughout the trip, Serena had made sure to keep in touch and call every few days. And at that point, she had not contacted her mom for quite some time. So by the time DeBoard had been released by Phoenix police, no one had heard from Dele, Carlin, or the boat's captain in about 2 months. And it was becoming like publicized, I guess. The brother DeBoard then travels to San Francisco to meet up with his girlfriend, Erica Weiss. He confesses to her his version of events that took place on his brother's boat. The boat is then discovered shortly after in Tahiti with a new name, and police started looking for DeBoard after they had already let him go. He ends up fleeing to Mexico and calls his mother, telling her,
"I found something and I tried to cover it up, but I didn't do what they're saying. No one will believe me."
Well, not when you flee into Mexico. But
yeah. And then a couple days after he makes that phone call, he is found unconscious on a beach in Tijuana. So he's transported back to the U.S. and admitted to a San Diego hospital. Doctors believe he's in a coma caused by an insulin overdose. Oh, no. He does not recover and is taken off of life support, I think, around September 20th, somewhere around then. What he claimed happened, he confesses to his girlfriend, and shortly after she had gone to the FBI with his story. He had told her that he and his brother had gotten into an altercation. Dele's girlfriend, Carlin, had tried to break up the fight, but was accidentally thrown to the ground by Dele and fatally hitting her head.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. When the boat's captain told the brothers they needed to go to port immediately to report the deaths, DeBoard claimed his brother beat the man to death. DeBoard then goes on to explain that he killed his brother in self-defense and threw all three bodies overboard before heading back to port on July 16th and then flying back to the U.S.
This is just very suspicious.
Mm-hmm. The boat had some damage, but it was unclear whether or not the damage were bullet holes or holes due to something scraping the side of the boat, say in the water, like coral.
Okay.
No bodies were ever recovered, and everyone who was on the boat on the night of July 8th, which was the last time anyone had heard from any of them, are all now deceased. So obviously that story has a few holes, inconsistencies. Yeah. There's conflicting reports about whether or not they found blood on the boat, but for the most part, it was almost completely clean. So it was hard to gauge whether or not what kind of events took place. Because I don't know about you, but if I were to bear witness to something like that, I wouldn't get rid of all the evidence if I wasn't at fault.
And yeah, if it was self-defense, you'd be able to show that it was self-defense too,
Yeah, but then I also wouldn't immediately after try to forge a check.
Well, mistakes were made.
So, and the thing too, that they did note in a few of the articles I read was that so obviously Bison was super successful, but Miles had always kind of struggled. He also had issues with his mental health and was an alcoholic and never really had good financial standing.
where his brother would have to come in and like bail him out a lot. Yeah. So he actually had shown up unexpectedly and joined their little trip in Tahiti. So like he wasn't originally planned to be on the boat at that point. So just a lot of really odd things, you know, adding up. But unfortunately, there's no way to ever figure out what happened.
Yeah, I don't trust boats. I don't do that. Like, if someone ever invites me, like, oh, you want to go on a little boating trip? No.
Not in open water. Nope.
Well, you ever notice it's always, like, rich people in boats? Because, like, what the whole thing with, like, Robert Wagner, and I don't remember her name, but the woman who was in West Side Story.
The one that played Gloria?
I don't think so.
Or Maria?
Yeah, I think it was Maria.
I don't know.
It was, so it was her, Robert Wagner, and Christopher Walken were all on the boat.
See?
Don't go on boats.
Don't go on boats with rich people.
You guys want to go on
a boat? Which I guess...
No, I don't. I hate swimming. I'm a terrible swimmer.
Boats kind of freak me out. I mean, they're cool and all, but I wouldn't want to be out in the middle of the fucking ocean on a boat.
What about a lake?
I can do a lake.
That's fine.
I'm a lake. Yeah, because we're still
there's
like.
There's definitely a level of lake I'm comfortable with. Like, if I could see both sides, that's a lot.
I just want to be able to see the shore.
You, what if I asked you to purify yourself in Lake Minnetonka?
No, thanks.
And on that note,
no one's ever seen Purple Rain? Prince? No. Oh my god. I want you to purify yourself in Lake Minnetonka. He talked like that.
That was a great Prince impression.
It was so funny.
Well, on that note, let's take a small break. I gotta poop.
And now, a message from our sponsors.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
And we're back.
I didn't rub my goop.
A goop poop.
I put a sticker on my butthole and now I don't poop anymore. Thanks, Gwyneth Paltrow.
Oh my god, they're like those little cat butthole gems. Get one of those.
My favorite video on YouTube was taken down, and it is of this man who super glues his butthole shut and then drinks a bottle of laxatives and talks.
Oh my god. I've seen it's that too.
Incredible. It's incredible. Just, a friend of his, while he's applying the super glue, maces him in the butthole.
But like, I just want to know why? Because not only did he do that, didn't he? He like put fucking nails and shit on the toilet seat.
I think, wasn't it the Pain Olympics?
No.
The time the video came out? No.
No, I don't think so. I think it was like after that. Pain Olympics was like.
I don't know what the Pain Olympics are.
It was
don't
brutal.
Look
don't
up.
Look it
don't
up.
Look
don't look it up. It's like Live Leak era Robert traumatizing himself with the family computer.
It's like Rotten.com, but in video form.
Oh, thanks. Yeah. Okay, I feel like I have. There's like a theme with that. It's generally always like white men who do that kind of weird shit to themselves.
Yeah. It's
like
the jackass.
Yeah. Yeah, but like I saw one where it was like this guy was like eating a fucking cactus
And my theory is that, like, they've reached such a high level at the top of the food chain, like, they need to make their own
danger food. Yeah.
like why
be your own people? Meanwhile, sometimes
we're just walking on milk crates.
Let's move on to my case, because in my case actually reminded me a lot of Battle, the guy. Like, the guy on my case reminded me of Battle. In a good way.
Okay.
Not in a bad way. As it is, like, a young, adventurous, like, intellectual.
Yeah, who's about to go missing.
And that's what made me more sad.
I feel like that needs to be a gif. Your face just then. It's too perfect.
And that's what made me more sad. So, my case is about Daniel Robertson, who was a young Black man just living a normal life. And on June 23rd this year, he went to work and then was just never seen again. All that was found of him was his turned over Jeep that was crashed into a ravine. So now, Daniel Cornelius Robertson was born on January 14th, 1997, into a very average, like, loving family, which included his mom, his dad, his sister, and older brother, younger sister. I had that backwards. So they were all incredibly close, they said. They told stories about how, like, they just had a great childhood together, and that Daniel was, despite having a disability, he was born with part of his right arm, like, not being fully formed.
Muscle atrophy.
Is that what that's called?
Yeah, when your muscle, like, pretty much just dies.
Oh, no, like the arm. No, that part of the arm wasn't there at all.
Oh, okay.
I forget what the disorder was called, but, like, the lower part of his right arm just wasn't there.
Oh, I knew a kid like that in high school.
Yeah, I can't think of the name for it. But yeah, it was born with it not there. But they said despite that, he never let that slow him down, and he continued to just have, like, an adventurous life. According to those who knew him, he was a smart and happy person with a passion for adventure, life, and loved spending time outside with friends and family. And this actually correlated to his, like, career when he graduated from South Carolina University and went on to become a field geologist in a company called Metrics New World Engineering, and he moved out to Arizona and Phoenix to live, like, his outdoorsy geologist life, which sounds, like, very chill. Just to be able to just be outside and look at rocks all day. But it is, your job is just being outside looking at rocks. It's like a pretty cush gig, you know? You're not working at fucking FedEx. Like me. I hate my job. Did I get too real?
You just have to go get a rock degree.
Yeah.
I'm doing psychology, so, you know, I gotta be in depth.
Brains are kind of like rocks.
So, but some of these motherfuckers out here, gray, yeah, brains matter. Are definitely like rocks. So now, Daniel was last seen by his coworkers around 9:15 a.m. on June 23rd, 2021. He had been working at a new site in the Sun Valley Parkway on Cactus Road near a river. It's like a big river. And he was out there testing groundwater. And that's not, so I used to be a water tech analysis, like, back when I was 19 in a lab. And I used to go out to, like, certain landfills, like, test the water. Not an extraneous job, and not a job that you, I know, right? And not a job that you'd expect someone to go missing for. Because, like Battle was talking about earlier, you're always on your phone and you're always constantly in contact with, like, your coworkers and other people like that while you're out there. So the fact that he just, like, dropped off with no given reason, it's not like he had a reason to go run. Like, he was at work doing a job. That's what I'm trying to say. So at some point, he got into his blue Jeep Wrangler and drove away from the site. And he didn't tell anyone where he was going or why he was leaving. He just apparently left. That evening, a missing persons report was filed when his father notified the job that, like, he hasn't heard of him. They asked, like, hey, did you guys hear of him? We haven't heard of him tonight at all. They said no. And that's when they put out, you know, the missing persons report. And his family drove 2,000 miles from South Carolina to Phoenix, Arizona, to start aiding a search. Like, they hopped in their cars immediately and drove cross country. So they learned that in the lead of his disappearance, he had been acting strange and seemed more withdrawn from his father. His dad said that he kind of just seemed, like, depressed. So searches were conducted at local hospitals first to see like if he got injured in some way, and like with the hospital, they found nothing. They actually got a helicopter the next day to come and do a search. Patrols on like foot, bikes, and ATVs searched the whole area, found nothing. And on July 9th, Arizona Civil Air Patrol officers' assistants came in with another aircraft and kept flying over. They also put up posters around local hotels and checked his credit cards, and still, like, nothing was found. Other than his Jeep, which was discovered July 20th, so almost a full month later, and approximately 4 miles southwest of where he was last seen in a ravine. It was flipped over and crashed, the airbags were deployed, and it was determined that, like, he had a seatbelt on, his seatbelt wasn't cut. Like, it looked like someone basically just, like, kind of re-clipped it. Did that make sense? Mm-hmm. And there was no, like, blood or anything in the car. It didn't seem like it was a struggle. It seemed like the car just crashed and he got out of it and walked off. But there were no signs of, like, footprints, drag marks, anything like that.
The fact that the seatbelt was re-clipped is kind of a weird detail. Because, like, if you were just in an accident, you'd take off your seatbelt and just get out of the car. Why would you re-clip it?
Yeah, and my first thought was, like, maybe he, like, kind of crawled.
Like, slipped out?
Because, yeah, because I pictures he was a real skinny guy. He was a lean guy. And my first thought was, all right, if he had a disability where, like, part of his right hand isn't there, well, part of his right arm isn't there, he only has the one hand, maybe he did just kind of just, like, slip out of it and crawl out.
That's kind of hard because,
but, I mean, like, that's your left hand.
Seat belts, you know? Like,
yeah,
lock. So, like, if your seat belt extends all the way out, and it tries to go back in, and you try to pull out again, it's not going to come out.
Also, could you imagine, with,
like putting in a car seat, like
slithering out of your seatbelt, like how hard it would be to do that?
Yeah, especially after an accident.
I'm no seatbelt specialist.
It's not the only weird thing, but in his vehicle, several of his personal items were found, including his clothing, like a bag of clothes, a cell phone, wallet, and keys. The clothes were found 3 feet from the vehicle, including his boots and safety vests. According to his family, investigators didn't conduct any forensic search, any forensic work of the Jeep or the clothing. So they hired their own team of analysis, and they found that, So after that, they hired their own team to analyze the Jeep and the clothing. After they were finished, they also looked into his computer and cell phone. Detectives conducted a ground search of the surrounding area, and they said they came up empty. So yeah, all of his clothing and shit like that was found, which is also very weird. I feel like if you got an accident, you would at least take your cell phone.
Yeah.
And like maybe your reflective vest so it could be easier to spot you. And most people in car accidents typically just stay with the vehicle. But they say, like, if you're in some sort of vehicle accident, something like that, you stay with the vehicle because it's easier for people to find you, especially in a remote area.
I definitely would take my cell phone, like, after something like that. I would look for my cell phone and then go. I wouldn't probably think of putting on a reflective vest. Now that you say that, it might, if I get in an accident, I'm like, oh shit, do I have my work vest in here so I could put it on? But, like, for sure,
something my cell phone. Easy to spot you, yeah. And then the fact that his clothing was found outside of the car, too.
Yeah.
Also, you know what it makes me think of, though? He definitely got into an accident, right? Like, there was damage on his vehicle.
The vehicle was flipped over in a ravine. So, yeah, he definitely got into an accident.
I've heard about it a bunch on, like, other podcasts and stuff, but, like, those scams where it's, like, these people stop you or, like, ask for help or something.
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean? In, like, the middle of the road. And, ooh, I mean, yeah. I wouldn't be surprised if, they ran someone off the road. I don't know. But
So going kind of back to the cell phone thing, they did try to like triangulate and ping his location, and that really didn't help anything at all. Like kind of track where he was going from the work site up into the axe at the ravine, and that didn't really help at all with any kind of searches. And then after all that, the Buckeye Police Department they said they didn't suspect any foul play in the disappearance based on the information that they found in his Jeep. His father and family like greatly disagreed with all of that and said with the evidence provided, it seems like something had happened that was suspicious, that they could consider, they should continue investigating on it. So he hired numerous other private investigators who also believed the same thing, but the police department just didn't want to pick it up. They just wanted to chalk it up to just a missing persons case. There is currently a $10,000 reward offered from the family for any information leading to his arrest. Not arrest, sorry. Leading to him being found or any information about it. And I'll put all that in the show notes. And yeah, we see this a lot where certain suspicious cases, especially with people of color, just get turned into like, oh, they close it kind of quickly rather than other cases. Mm-hmm. Or chalk it up to like a runaway or something like that. Say. Even though there is like a shit ton of just very suspicious evidence, you know.
He was in the desert, right?
Yeah, he's on the desert doing a water testing.
I mean, he's outside of his car without his clothes. Like, he's dead of exposure for sure.
Yeah,
and like, unless he got picked up by someone, like.
Yeah, so I'll post all that.
It's like, say someone like stopped him, like I said, like one of those weird scams, and then just like clipped his like car and like threw it off them into the ravine or something. Who knows? Yeah. Maybe he's with someone else kidnapped.
They do that scam out here in St. Louis like pretty regularly. Like someone will just have their hazards on like at an off ramp or something. Mm-hmm. Like in your way, and then they're like, oh, sorry, can I like borrow your phone to like call somebody? And as soon as you give them your phone, they're like, okay, well, I'm robbing you, you should leave now.
Yeah. A couple of days ago, something like that, like it seems sus, the situation that happened to me. So I'm on my way to work, and I go to work at like 1 a.m. every day. So I'm on my way to work, I know, right? I'm on my way to work, and I see this dude who's like trying to wave down cars, and he's like limping and shit. So I go by him. And like his limp looked pretty severe, and the way like he was like flagging seemed like frantic. So I'm thinking like, oh, maybe he got into a car accident, maybe he got like clipped by a car and he needs help. So I double back around, I pull up to him, and like he just automatically like straightened up his back, stopped limping, and walked up to my car. Like, oh hey, I gotta run to the bus stop down there. And I was like, the bus stop is like not even a mile away. But yeah, can I just get a quick ride? I was like, no, man.
I did not get in my car.
You straight up stopped limping and went on a ride half a mile away to a bus stop. No. At 1 a.m.? No.
I used to have a buddy who, like, whenever he was hitchhiking, he would take off his shoes. He would do it barefoot. He's like, because nobody wants to see that on the side of the road, and they always pick me up when I take my shoes off.
Jeez.
Wow.
Well, I'll be putting the description and the number to call and all the information for Daniel Robertson in the show notes. So if you're in Arizona and you know something or see something, say something. Yeah. My first thought was, like Robert said, he got into an accident, climbed out of his car, and like maybe just wandered off looking for help. Because I can excuse leaving your cell phone and shit behind if you have like a head injury.
Yeah. You get blasted with that airbag and then you're not thinking straight.
Yeah, you just try to stumble off and look for help and just collapse somewhere. I don't know how they couldn't find his body.
True.
I don't know. It's all very suspicious. But yeah.
And a reminder that if you're ever in the desert and your car breaks down, do not leave your car. Stay in your car. You'll die of exposure.
Yeah, stay in or near your car. If you get into any type of like, airplane accident or whatever, first thing they tell you to do is stay near like the accident site because it makes it easier to find you.
The thing that people can see, yes.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier to find you.
Also, emergency blankets. If you get like a reflective one, that's awesome. Ones, yeah. If you can't do that, get blue because blue is the most unnatural color and it's easy to pick up from like an airplane or a helicopter.
Survival tips, we got you.
My dad, search and rescue.
I have a whole survival book actually right here.
Heck yeah.
I stay ready.
Okay.
But yeah, so battle. I mean, not battle. Sorry, Robert.
Man, I wish I was battle. Get serious. This is a scary one.
Ooh, spooky.
So I want you to imagine something. You know.
I'm imagining!
Jesus Christ.
You're out with your friends. You know, you get home around like 11 or 12. You're like, oh, what a great night. But, you know, I got to go to work later. You know, but tomorrow's Friday. It's cool. You lay down in bed, fall asleep eventually, and then you die. You just die. And
you and 90 something of your other neighbors just die in the middle of the night.
What?
I am intrigued.
So Thursday, June 24th, 2021, the Champlain Tower South collapsed. It was a building.
Oh, shit.
In the middle of the night, collapsed. All things said and done, after 4 weeks of searching for, you know, missing people, about 100 people died. I think 35 people were rescued, but the only people that survived the rescue were people who were pulled out the same day the tower went down.
Jesus.
And where was it at? Where was that again?
This was in Miami in a suburb called Surfside.
Yeah. Damn.
When I first heard this story, because at that point it was still being reported, like 100 people missing, like, you know, all these people are just trapped in this rubble. And then I started thinking about how, like, the little things around my apartment that, like, my landlord refuses to fix, or, like, in our building, that they're just like, yeah, we'll get to eventually, or, you know, yeah, there's bugs, but they're not doing any structural damage, probably.
Probably.
So the cause of the Champlain Tower collapse was water damage as a result of the waterproofing involved with the pool wasn't done correctly. And they've known about this issue since 2018. And they had, you know, plans, a big $15 million project, plans to fix this thing.
And now they got a big ass lawsuit to plan for. The fuck?
Probably gonna be more than $15 million. And 100 people no longer are alive. This specific building had a large population of Latino people. And amongst them was the sister of the First Lady of Paraguay. So the Paraguayan government was also involved in the search effort. And for a little while, like in the very beginning, there was a bunch of like conspiracy theories about like, oh, there was political people like who lived here.
Oh, like a hit type thing.
Yeah, but you know, that's just, you know,
it's crazy. Very convoluted.
Crazy, yeah. People getting crazy.
Poppycock, darling.
Yeah, so this woman and her husband and their three children all died pretty much instantly. We would hope, you know, we don't know for sure, but, you know, in a tower collapse, you know, a lot of the people
it could
die
be
quickly,
either way. Yeah.
And then,
some don't.
You know,
yeah.
Some people are trapped in areas and can't get out or are slowly crushed underneath rubble. So, yes, there was an engineering inspection by Morbito Consultants in 2018 that showed a major error in the construction of the pool deck. This major error would then go on to cause water damage to concrete and rebar that was critical to the building structure. This case also reminds me a lot of the Flint water crisis, because it was, you know, major structural damages and issues that were known about that enough people kind of like turned their eye, delayed until the point that it was like a major health crisis or was impacting many, many people. One of those like at best by accident and like at worst by design. Yeah. Not saying the like absolute criminal negligence. And I couldn't find any information about if anyone is going to get charges or see any prison time about this. But yeah, a beachfront property at 1 a.m., you know, just goes missing. It disappears. And the 100 people that lived inside are gone too.
It makes me think of the whole power grid thing in Texas this past winter.
Yep, absolutely. Like,
they knew it 10 years ago that it was going to do that.
Or what was that facility? It was some other country that like literally exploded.
It was like a chemical factory or something.
And only went
like Eastern Europe. Yeah. So as much as it is for me scary to think about, like, oh, someone hopping out of a van and like just disappearing me, if I'm counting my like odds, me getting like trapped in a building that's collapsing or like in an explosion from a factory, like that seems more likely to me. I don't know if that's true. I'm just paranoid.
Just top of your paranoid list.
Yeah. Cause I feel like I'm not like a desirable target for kidnapping, you know?
Well, that's like the one thing I feel like I've learned a lot too, as I've gotten older, like the line between like our chances of something happening and just being lucky that we haven't succumbed because of someone's negligence in something at some point is like,
yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's like a constant threat with a lot of stuff. I mean, we're just lucky overall.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Even with your car, it could just like, take one person like not expecting something rare or fucking up somewhere. Mm-hmm. Like, your gas pedal gets like stuck to the floor while you're driving or some shit.
It stresses me out so much that public transportation isn't better here. Just because, like, it's just a matter of time before you're in a car accident. Like, and when like, it does happen, hopefully it's chill and not a big deal, but...
Yeah, or like a bridge. Like, look at fucking Philly. That bridge, man, that's... Yeah. 80 year now, that's just coming down.
Infrastructure needs to be overhauled in the U.S., you could say. Yeah, so that's my disappearance. The disappearance of a building and 100 people as a result of, we'll fix it later.
You know, Poison Ivy was right. You just gotta go around killing these capitalists. Poison Ivy did nothing wrong. But hey, that was our episode. I hope it filled you full of new paranoias and anxieties. Throughout your day, when you're sitting in your shitty apartment, you're looking up at the ceiling that's cracking a little bit, thinking like this might be it. let me take some more melatonin then. But enjoy the music coming up. The cases are great. I love the gang. Check out the Patreon and links below. Also, get ready for October. You got some shit coming up for spooky season. Yeah, we're gonna be covering some serial killers like the whole month, so just get ready for that. Anybody else have anything to plug or say? Battle?
I have nothing to say. Take a break from social media, everyone.
Yeah, run a marathon.
It's healthy. Kelly, got anything?
Nope.
Oh well, no, Kelly's on a TikTok.
Oh yes.
Yeah, so check out the Bros and Murder TikTok for Kelly content. Robert, you got anything?
No.
All right, well, that's it. Stay juicy, everyone. Buy those Good Vibe stickers and put them on your butthole.
I was about to say that.
I read your mind. All right. Bye.
See ya.
Bye.
Okay, we definitely picked up my cat screaming in the background again.
I heard it. It's cute.
I can't help but giggle every time.
I know.
Little bastard.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done. My confidence is shooting through the roof. I'm on